Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and this is officially football season. I'm wearing my Curio purple football gear. I'm geared up. It's OTAs. We got mini. Dude, I have to do something with the baseball team being on a skits at 15 games under 500 when it's not supposed to be, but Luke is going to take a little bit of a timeout from Oriole Park at Camden Yards this week. They are going to allow him out in Owings Mills and tell everybody what the OTAs are about this year. A little later, you know, rookies, the calendar's strained a little bit differently at this point. They're going to get back out there, and there will be questions about Justin Tucker and his football decision, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean there'll be some questions, I'm sure. I'm not sure how many answers there'll be. As I and other reporters will point out, all you can do is ask the questions. It doesn't mean you're going to like the answer or you'll get an answer. But yeah, we're at the point now where we're advancing to the final stages of the off-season program. Of course, it always starts in mid-April. The first earliest weeks are just lifting and conditioning, things of that nature. The last couple weeks they've done more of what, I guess in recent years they've kind of coined it as football school. They're kind of teaching the young guys, they're teaching newcomers how to practice, so to speak. They're kind of teaching them, what their system's all about, all that kind of stuff. But you get to OTAs and you're at a point now where it's still voluntary, but you're finally at a point where you can start to play, full team 11 on 11 practice. It's still, it's Harbaugh's even said in recent years, this time of year, you're still not really full-blown competing with one another. You're working against each other, but you're not going all out in the way that, hey, you can expose yourself to injury. You're still taking care of each other out there. But this is when we get to the point where you're starting to practice, albeit in shorts. Anyone who's done this long enough knows that there's not a whole lot to take away from this right now. I said this to you even kind of flippantly before we began our segment. In some ways, as a reporter, these earliest OTAs, it's kind of a little bit like babysitting in the sense that you're kind of out there in case, heaven forbid, there's a catastrophic injury. You need to be there and report on it if it happens. Not that you want it to, but these earliest practices, I mean, sure, I want to see what Malachi Starks looks like, and I want to see what some of these rookies look like. And sure, if DeAndre Hopkins is there, then great. If he's catching some passes and looks like DeAndre Hopkins, great. But
And they get
how much?
assigned numbers. It's your chance to learn numbers, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. That is part of it, right? I mean, that is part of
I'm just saying,
the
I used to
adjustment.
do this professionally for a
Sure,
long, long time.
sure.
So like that was always the thought. What number is he wearing?
You
Where is
go.
he lining up? Who's unavailable to practice?
And
Who's here? What
I kid you
veterans are
not.
around? What veterans aren't?
What's funny is, I kid you not, I'm looking at the Ravens roster right now, and I'm already starting to notice, oh, Sanusi Kane changed his number. He's wearing number 21 now. Like those are the things that I'm kind of looking at. But in terms of like observations, in terms of who looks great, who doesn't, who's there, who isn't, it doesn't mean a whole lot. We know that. And I get it because of what you said. The Orioles have been so miserable that, yeah, we probably the typical fan will be paying attention a little bit more. But in terms of anything that's really going to be all that consequential, the only consequential things that happen are what we found out about Ardarius Washington, unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, with the torn Achilles. Those are really the only truly consequential things that take place this time of year, but it's still neat to see these guys running around. And we'll get an early idea of where the Ravens are with, say, the number three safety spot, which I still think they're, before it's all said and done, I expect them to add a veteran to that mix after the Washington injury. But you want to see that Malachi Starks belongs, and you want to see some of these other young guys do some good things. I mean, it's better than the alternative. At the same time, I could go through and give you probably my all spring team over the last 15 years of covering the team. Guys that really impressed me this time of year, never heard from them again. And then other guys who didn't necessarily impress early on and ended up being really good. So
Bobby Rainey. I mean, that to me, that's always going to be the Bobby Rainey.
I'll give you a name, Dalen Hayes, who was a fifth round pick. What was that? 2021, maybe? He looked really good in the spring. it never materialized putting the pads on. So I can give you names like that. I can tell you vividly, Mark Andrews was, in my eyes, very underwhelming his first training camp. And he's become one of the better players in franchise history, regardless of what his future holds after this year. But it just goes to show, you're playing football in shorts right now, and there's just not a whole lot to take away that's overly consequential, but it's fun, and we'll get to hear from some of these guys. We'll see who's out there. I will say this, from an attendance standpoint, I care very little other than I'll be interested to see anyone that's a pending free agent. Like, for example, will Mark Andrews be there for OTAs? Where's Kyle Hamilton going to be in terms of knowing that he's going to be getting paid at some point here, whether it's in the next 2 months or the next 18 months? That's going to happen for him. But how does he handle, whether is he going to be here or not? So,
We won't know if that's imminent, right? That'll just happen.
I mean, it's not, I mean, they're picking up his fifth year option.
Well, that's something for like if we're doing news today and we're talking about what's going on, people haven't thought about the Ravens since Justin Tucker or whatever, or since the draft even. I mean, Hamilton being signed before August, maybe?
I
Where do you
mean,
put that percentage-wise?
possible. I think the more interesting one though is Tyler Linderbaum, because keep in mind they declined his fifth year option. Because keep in mind, for these fifth year options, when you're talking about guys that have made Pro Bowls like Hamilton and Linderbaum have, they basically use the franchise tag number, and we know offensive linemen, they lump them all together. So the problem with Tyler Linderbaum is if you picked up the fifth year option, it was a left tackle number basically. So they declined that. Now, push comes to shove, if you don't get a deal done by next March, you could still franchise tag him, and it's going to be the same exact number that the fifth year option was going to be. So Linderbaum, though, there's a little more urgency to try to get something done with him, even if that's not going to be as lucrative as what Kyle Hamilton, who, I think Hamilton's going to be fascinating because.
That might not be easy to get done.
No, well, I think what's interesting, like if I were his agent, if I were Luke Jones putting on a sports agent hat right now, I'd say Kyle Hamilton's not just a safety. So whatever, and the top safety number is like 21.5 million per year as far as AAV right now. I would try to blow that out of the water, saying this guy's a hybrid player. He's not just a safety. He plays nickel for you. He can blitz, plays the run, plays in the box. He can play deep safety. He saved your bacon last year when Marcus Williams was a disaster. So I think that's going to be a fascinating, potentially could be a fascinating
What is he? Is
negotiation.
he a $30 million year
I mean, I
player?
don't know if it's 30, but I would say
It ain't 20.
if I were his agent, I'd be looking for 25 at a minimum. I'd be like trying to, in the same way that, remember, there was always, when Terrell Suggs, way back when, there was that debate. Should his franchise tag number be a linebacker or a
Oh,
defensive
Ed
end?
Reed. I mean, I vividly remember
Sure. I mean, you're
Brian
talking,
saying to me, Ed, you're safety. You're safety.
but he wasn't just the safety, right? And that's part of what's tricky when you're talking about transcendent players. So, but just to bring it back
That's what
to
Glenn
here,
Eunice says too, by the way. So
yeah,
just exploring, I
sure, no
guess.
question. But those are the types of players to me that. Not that it's a big deal if they're not there for OTAs per se, because I'm sorry, I've seen it enough times now. Assuming it's someone that's trustworthy, that they're going to be in shape and do what they need to do, I don't really care if they're here this time of year. I don't. Even Lamar, like we talked about this with Lamar the last couple of years. Lamar didn't attend all the OTAs last spring, and he just had the best regular season of his career. So do I think the missing piece for him breaking through in January is attending a couple more OTAs? No, I don't. I mean, I just don't. And you're not going to get me to change my feeling on that. But I do think it can be, attendance can be indicative of whether a player and the team is on, they're on the same page. And we talked about that a lot with Lamar during his contract 2, 3 years ago. So that's where I think it's interesting, in terms of whether Andrews will be there or not, whether Hamilton will be there or not, whether Linderbaum will be there or not. Those are the guys that, beyond the rookies and all the fringe guys that need to be there because, hey, their job's not guaranteed. That's what you're kind of looking at. And again, I think it's more something that can reflect maybe a bigger issue at times. But, again, in most cases, everything that we're going to talk about, everything that I'm going to write about, when I do my 12 Ravens thoughts about the first OTA, which, people will read right now because we're all interested, we're all curious, but none of us are going to remember any of it 2 weeks from now, let alone 2 months or 4 months from now, unless somebody gets hurt. And that's where you just keep your fingers crossed and just say, hey, get through this, get the work done you want to get done as a coaching staff, and then get these guys off the field.
Luke Jones will be running around Owings Mills. The Orioles are running around Oriole Park at Camden Yards in last place, which I think brings even more focus onto the Ravens. The Tucker thing will be the first questions, right? That's where it
You would
starts
think
this week,
so.
right?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, I'm guessing John Harbaugh, and we talked about this 3 weeks ago at this point, so it's nothing new. I mean, they're going to, I'm sure he will say something flattering about what Justin Tucker meant to the organization as a player, as someone who was a seven-time Pro Bowl kicker. It'll be in the same vein of what Eric DaCosta's statement was when they released him 3 weeks ago. But I'm guessing there will be very much a sense of wanting to turn the page as quickly as possible. And, whether that's two questions, three questions, whatever it is, I'm guessing it's not going to amount to much. And I'm not judging that that's okay or not okay or whatever. I think that's just where it's going to be. And then, the proverbial page will be turned, because then inevitably it'll be, okay, how's Tyler Loop looking? How's John Hoyland, the other kicker they brought in? How's he looking? We're going to be tracking their kicks between now and the end of August to see who wins the job, right? We're going to be tracking whoever gets the job, if they're going to keep the job. But yeah, I mean, I think, there's obviously questions to be asked about Tucker. Again, does that mean we're going to get any answers?
How's that investigation going, Raj?
Sure. Well, and that's, and this is kind of gets into what we talked about a few weeks ago. I mean, they said it's a football decision. We know it's not really. I mean, was part of it a football decision? Sure. In the vein that he had a bad season last year.
It really is a shame Harbaugh's nose doesn't grow like Pinocchio, but.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of coaches out there that have that problem. But at the same time, I mean, I'm guessing they felt they needed to tread very carefully, because Justin Tucker also has his own legal team that is looking at the NFL's investigation. I'm guessing the Ravens are trying to tread as carefully as they can in that regard. But
Well, in regard to Justin Tucker, it's the rest of his career and him getting his next
sure.
job and whatever this is going to be. That is newsworthy. It's interesting. It's
Absolutely.
journalism. What the Ravens knew in 2012 and 13 and 14 is still very interesting, even though,
Yeah.
these are all very legitimate questions. All of
Sure.
it's legitimate. And, as is all of their lawyering up and running and
Right.
Chad Steele running and hiding, and the way they did this 3 weeks ago on a Monday after Harbaugh did his no speaky thing, which you
Day
read the tea
after, yeah.
leaves. You read the tea leaves, yeah. So, it's all very orchestrated, but the thing it's not orchestrated is what Tucker's next job is, and what the NFL is going to say or do in regard to suspensions, and time down. And also Tucker, who's the whole way said none of this ever happened, and he called the journalists scumbags.
Yeah.
So somewhere between the journalists are scumbags and I may have been inappropriate, or you were inappropriate and take 4 games, 6 games, 8 games a year, or whatever they deem they're going to deem. Then he's got to go get a gig, right? So
Yeah.
I mean, that's still front page news here.
Oh, no question. I mean, wherever he winds up, and obviously there have been plenty of fans have joked about, oh, well, he could go to the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, they already have Deshaun Watson, right? But I think, you mentioned that as far as, first of all, what is the timing of the investigation concluding and the NFL putting out something, whether it's a suspension, if it is a suspension, how long of a suspension, whether they put out any details or not. I mean, typically they're
I
not going to
think
release.
typically they get together with Tucker's lawyers and
Oh,
negotiate whatever they're going to release,
and I
right? I
think
mean,
that's what I
that's
think.
what's really going on,
I
right?
think what's interesting about this, let's make the assumption that there's a suspension of some length, whether it's a game or two, or whether it's like Watson was what, 8 or 9 games, whatever it was. I think for him and for his legal team, to try to be strategic about this from the standpoint of assuming you want to continue an NFL career somewhere, there's going to have to be some expression of contrition, right? I mean, whether it's, it doesn't mean a full-blown confession per se, but something along the lines of, and where he can actually help himself in this way
All of this is
is,
so sleazy. I just need to say
I
that, but
know.
go ahead.
Well, I understand that, Nestor, but I'm trying to be pragmatic talking about this because
Sure.
we've talked about this in a variety of ways over the last 6 months, or 5 months. But I think where he can serve himself to earn another opportunity, receive another opportunity somewhere, is given the timeline of this, he can very much, and I don't want to say hide behind, but acknowledge I was young. I was not as mature. I clearly did not conduct myself in a way that I should have, regardless of what my intent was. If these individuals felt a certain way, I have to own
He
that.
issued a little bit of that. He
And
had one
he
of
did when
those.
when he and that was his second one, right? I mean, that was what the what was the it was the I it was the article where like he was kind of quoted about Outkick, whatever it is. I'm drawing a blank on the outlet, but I think he's got to veer a little more in that direction, especially if another team, and let's face it, at the end of the day, the 32 teams want to win, right? And we've talked about this with the Ravens. It's why you and I at various points were questioning if the Ravens were in fact going to move on from him.
As my wife said, he is a really good kicker.
Correct. And if he had had a way different season than he did last year, we might be talking about Justin Tucker still being a Raven at this point in time. But for him to continue
Would
his
have been a
career,
football decision then.
but for him to continue his career at some point, I do think there's going to have to be a higher degree of contrition that he shows in some shape or form. But what he does have working for him is the timeline of this, assuming the NFL does not have evidence of anything happening post 2016, which would change that dynamic a little bit. That's something that he can kind of default to. I was young and dumb, and I acted inappropriately. I don't maybe if even if I don't necessarily agree with how all these were depicted, I still didn't act the way that I should have, and I apologize for that. I've grown a lot from that. I'm not the same guy that I was at age 23, in the same way that none of us are the same way that we're at age 23, regardless of what we're talking about here. So I think that's where he probably can lean into that a little bit more and probably receive another shot, with another team at some point in time. But a lot of it's going to depend on what did the league find out? Is it in line with the banner's reporting? Is it worse? Is it something they deem maybe some of it not as bad as accusations? I have no idea. Again, it's pure conjecture at this point in time. But again, for it to be 16, when you're talking about that kind of number, he's going to have to show more contrition. I don't think there's any way around that. And I'm guessing his legal team's going to tell him that too. Once this is out and once you're serving whatever discipline the league deems here, you're going to, there's going to be some damage control that needs to be done here. If you want to kick again, or you can continue to deny, 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 deny. And then if that's the case, I don't know if another team will come calling, but showing some contrition, acknowledging, hey, I was young and dumb and did some things I shouldn't have done, however it's going to be worded. And again, I'm in agreement with you.
It
I'm
could have
not
been
making
worded that
light
way
of
4 months
this.
ago, and the Ravens may have fell on him.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. And again, I'm not saying any of this to make light of any of it. I'm trying to put myself, I guess, in the
Well, we're
shoes
trying to figure out what's
of
going to
his
happen the next
legal
4
team.
months for him,
Yeah.
right? He wants the kick. I mean, he
Assuming he
obviously
wants
still
to
wants the
continue his
kick. Yeah.
career. Yeah. I mean, there's going to have to be some of that, right? And I guess I'm thinking of it in the way that probably his legal team would be thinking about it right now, or anyone who's doing publicity for him right now. There's going to have to be kind of that, a little more contrition, a little more, I messed up. And even if I don't agree with every way that it was characterized those interactions, I still didn't act in a way that I'm proud of. And there's a way to soft pedal that a little bit without, I guess fully admitting guilt, but also, it's kind of the, it's the whole, when someone says they're innocent, but they still apologize, and then you say, well, if you're innocent, what are you apologizing for, right? I mean, that's always the question. But there's going to have to be some of that. But until we get the league putting out something on this,
The Ravens have
I
really
mean, he's
washed their
just,
hands of this.
oh,
I mean,
sure.
DaCosta had two questions in Indianapolis about it. Harbaugh dealt with a couple of seconds of it at the owners' meetings at a breakfast,
Yeah.
and now they're going to push it all away, and that's the end.
Well, and that's where you kind of wonder why, they could have just dealt with it back in the first the days after this came out. But as I said to you at the time, I'm guessing there was some wanting to have some semblance of due process, not obviously understanding it's not actually due process, but the idea of what they would have, what would be in mind for them. The idea of looking into it, hearing what exactly what's what, and I guess they wanted to go through that process. And as I said to you, I for me, I that's why I always pointed to the draft. That was always for me, that was always the
Yeah, they
last
didn't
best
have to
chance,
do anything until
right?
then.
But
Yeah.
from that point, if you were going to move on, that was kind of the cutoff, because if you didn't draft a kicker. If you didn't, and then you're making that move later on, then that's a way different animal trying to replace him. Then you're at the mercy of, okay, what veteran kickers are out there? Who's cut? Who's released? Is there a trade to be made? Like, that's a much more slippery slope, rather than they had Randy Brown do all the homework. They like Tyler Loop a lot. They like this other kid from Wyoming as a, someone to compete with him. And we're going to see how it plays out. I mean, it's possible 6 months from now, we're talking about someone that isn't even on the roster that's kicking for the Ravens, because we've also seen how Steve Hauschka worked out, replacing Matt Stover. That lasted half a season, and then they brought in Billy Cundiff, and they did another competition the following summer. So, when you're talking about an organization that is entering its 30th year in Baltimore, and they've basically had two kickers for all but what? 2009, 2010, 2011. All but 3 years of their existence has been two kickers handling that. I'm not going to bet against Tyler Loop, because I have no axe to grind with Tyler Loop. He seems like a nice enough kid, talking to him the little bit that we've had a chance to talk to him since he was drafted. But history would suggest they're not going to hit a home run with him in the way that they did with Justin Tucker, or the way they had Matt Stover all
Oh,
those
and it's a big
years.
job. It's a pass or
Yeah.
fail job.
Especially for a Super Bowl contender, a team that, this isn't a rebuilding middling team where he's gonna, if he misses kicks, if he misses a game winner in week two, and he misses, a couple other big kicks against, say, Detroit on Monday Night Football,
Get the Brandon Eye treatment.
he'll be gone, right? I mean, right. I mean, that's why I said all along, even before they got rid of Tucker, I said, Tyler Loop, like, even if they get rid of Tucker, they're not just handing Tyler Loop the job. I mean, John Hoyland is the other kicker in camp.
Dude, one's the
Again,
greatest kicker of all time. The other guy's a sixth-round draft pick.
yeah,
You're nothing
these
until
two,
you're a
but the
draft pick.
right, these two, and that's the thing. I mean, a sixth round pick, yeah, they like him. Yeah, if you ask John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta right now who they think is going to be their kicker week one, let alone week 11 or the playoffs, they want it to be Tyler Loop. But it's a sixth round pick. If this kid gets the yips the second week of training camp, he's probably not going to be their kicker come week one, right? I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, I said it for some perspective here. The Commanders, who made it all the way to the NFC title game, they had four different kickers last year. I mean, and that's a team that was really good. So it speaks to what this league is like, and that's why.
That's why Justin Tucker's going to kick in the league again.
It is, and that's why the Ravens at least dragged it out as long as they did, without just cutting him, even though they saw what the allegations were. So, we're going to see how this plays out. I mean, it's Tyler Loop's talented. I think they really do like him. I think that's genuine. But until We see him do it with the lights on, and you're not even going to learn that. You're not going to learn that in OTAs. You're not going to learn that in a preseason game. You're going to learn that starting in September. And guess what? September is not going to be the same as December or January when he's kicking at Heinz Field in week 18, potentially in a game that could really matter one way or the other. So, good luck to him. I mean, those are big shoes to fill, regardless of how anyone feels about Justin Tucker personally. That's a big job that has to be filled. And I get it. Tucker wasn't very good last year. We all understand that, but that doesn't mean that the next guy isn't going to have really big expectations, because this football team has, they want to get to a Super Bowl. And you don't necessarily need to have the best kicker in the league to do that, but you've got to have someone you can trust. And Tyler Loop's got a long way to go to show that he can be that guy that's trustworthy.
All right, I'm going to make a football decision here and send Luke to the baseball stadium and then out to football this week. It is OTAs. The Ravens are back out on the field this week. There will be questions for the organization, as well as first looks at Malachi Starks and a whole bunch of other players, as well as, the Lamar and the Derrick Henry party and what the team is and the Roquan Smiths and the Ronnie Stanleys and the the veteran Marlon Humphreys, veteran players, working it out, chilling it out. The big mandatory is up in 3 weeks. Luke will be out there each and every week. You'll get all that out of Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor. He is Luke. Together we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.